Amen. He whispers sweet peace to me. That is reassuring to the Christian that the Lord can provide us even in the most troubling and trying times with sweet peace, because we are His children. And we recognize that He values us, and we recognize that He loves us, and that He has made ample provisions for us, and that He's perpetually concerned about our good and our welfare. It's good to be here this morning, good to see each of you here this morning. I bring you greetings from the Southside Church of Christ in Greenville, Mississippi, where I was privileged to worship and preach on last Lord's Day. My brother and his family send their regards and send their appreciation and gratitude to all of you for keeping him and his family in your prayers. His body is weak, but his faith is strong. And we are grateful for his attitude of optimism and the hope which serves as an anchor for his soul, which is both sure and steadfast. We solicit your continual prayers on his behalf. He was encouraged by my visit with him, and I was encouraged by my visit with him as well. We invite you to turn in your Bibles, please, to the scripture lesson that was read just a few moments ago by Brother Solomon. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. We want to talk about the church at Thessalonica, or the congregations of the Thessalonians. We'd like to use as the specific title of our lesson this morning, for your consideration and for your contemplation, for your edification, and for your motivation, it's time to upgrade. It's time to upgrade. Webster defines the word upgrade as the act of improving, as the act of improving something by raising it to a higher standard. I want to share in our lesson this morning that we have got to continue to upgrade and raise the standard of our expectations and the standards of our operation. Each time we upgrade, we move closer, we reach higher, we dig deeper into a magnanimous relationship with Christ. We improve the quality of, we improve the validity of, and the solidity of our spirituality whenever we upgrade. Today, I want to challenge us to upgrade as Christians in several significant ways. How many of you have a cell phone? I know most of you do. Some of you have Androids. Some of you have other kinds of phones. Some of you have iPhones. And some of you are planning on upgrading your iPhone very soon. I was talking to some of the young ladies of this congregation several months ago, and when they discovered that I had an iPhone, they almost fell over laughing. And I was thinking, how in the world can you disparage and be critical of my iPhone? That's top of the line stuff. And I just recently upgraded my iPhone. But they said, no, the iPhone, that's obsolete. The iPhone is far inferior to the Android. And I beg to differ, of course, but I would not become involved in a protracted argument with them on the relative virtues and advantages of Android over other kinds of phones. But there are many products that have come out on the market today that will be out of date and obsolete in a few months. Some products are outdated shortly after they are taken out of the box, requiring an upgrade. Even the manufacturers do what they call built-in obsolescence. They build it, they design it, they structure it with the idea in mind that in a few months it's going to be obsolete and they are going to do an upgrade, and the profit motive is usually behind this whole system of designing products that are going to be outdated very shortly. Those of us who are old enough to remember, in the 70s, America reigned over the boombox. Do y'all know what boomboxes are, young ladies, teenagers? Many of you older folks remember the boomboxes. They were large radios that had powerful sounds. They were soon outdated, however, by the Walkman headsets that could deliver great sound without disturbing everybody else in the neighborhood. Now we have digital music. We have the MP3s. We have the iPods. Those who had boom boxes had to upgrade. Those who took pride in the 50s and 60s in their 45 and their 7 or 8 albums soon needed to upgrade, because 8-track tapes were the new craze. 8-tracks were soon replaced by cassettes, forcing another upgrade. Cassettes were soon outmoded and had to be upgraded when CDs scene. Those who took pride in their VHS movies had to upgrade to DVDs. If you still own, and I doubt if anybody in here owns now, if you do, it's a very few of you, a VHS player. If you hadn't gotten rid of it yet, you need to upgrade. Rotary telephones were upgraded by touch tone, and now there are many who rarely use their home phones due to the wide proliferation of cell phones. A lot of folks have just gotten rid of their home phones altogether. When I'm signing up new customers for a Gospel Advocate, when I ask them, let me have a phone number, they say, okay, and they'll give me that phone number. I say, okay, may I have a secondary number? They say, I don't have one. This is the only phone number I have, and this is my cell phone. And many of you don't have home phones, land-based phones anymore, because you have upgraded the home phone out of existence in your house. Microwave ovens have displaced stovetops for warming food, and digital cameras have almost replaced film and made Polaroid photos a blast from the past. Even television has been upgraded. We went from the tabletop to floor models. We then upgraded to big screen projection TVs. If you have an older television, in the near future you will have to upgrade to see anything, because the analogs have gone out of business. Everything is tending toward HGTV. In addition, if you have a big screen TV and it's not up to date, you will soon find it hard to find parts to fix it, because technology has forced us to upgrade. At first there was the big box screen TV that showed in 480 resolution. Then came plasma, LCD, and DLP that are capable of showing the program in 720i and now 1080i, 1080p, high definition resolution, making your television watching experience almost like being there. And for those who watch sports, football games and basketball games, they have a special rating called the refresh rate. You can get one that's 60, you can get one that's 120, or one that's 240, or I believe 360. It improves and enhances your television watching experience. Whether you're watching Mayfield and his soon upcoming bout, or whether you're watching the Titans in the NFL, people want to use the most updated, they want the most sophisticated, they want the latest, and so they upgrade all kinds of things. But I want to share with you, when it comes to our pleasure, we have no problem updating our material possessions. But there are some pressing questions on the floor this morning that need to be answered. Question: have we upgraded our relationship with God lately? There are those who have gone down into the watery grave of baptism and put on their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But many have not upgraded their relationship to the next level, which is to make a total commitment to Christ. And that's why your Christianity is, in a very real sense, unworkable, because you're using an 8-track mentality under CD circumstances. It's time for an upgrade. When we cannot see, with 1080p DVD vision because we are using 480p faith. We know it's time for an upgrade when we are dealing with DVD storms and trying to handle them in VHS ways. You cannot expect to grow in Christ with the same mentality that you had 5, 10, 15, 20, and 25 years ago. But many of us have not upgraded our spirituality in many, many years. We need to understand that we still have some churches in the body of Christ that are experiencing no real growth because we are stuck in the nostalgia of yesteryear. But I want you to know that it is now time for an upgrade. And we take our cue from the Thessalonians. They upgraded their faith. And like they upgraded their faith, we need to upgrade our faith as well. Notice 2 Thessalonians 1, 1 through 3, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, as it is suitable, as it is appropriate, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That Paul commends them, thanks God, that their faith was growing exceedingly. What about your faith? What about our faith? Is our faith in the process of growing in today's environment? The Hebrew writer teaches us in the 11th chapter of Hebrews that faith is the substance, the assurance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. When he names faith as the substance of things hoped for, he is describing what faith already has. Faith already possesses in the present what God has promised for the future. Let me say that again. Faith already possesses in the present what God has promised for the future. What do you mean by that? Well, listen. Faith possesses the future glory in spite of the present gloom. Faith possesses the future glory in spite of the present gloom. Not only that, faith possesses the future mountaintop in spite of the present valley. Faith possesses future success in spite of the present failure. Faith possesses the future joy in spite of the present sorrow. Faith possesses the future peace in spite of the present turmoil. Faith possesses the future blessings in spite of today's burdens. That's why we regard hope as the anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. It helps us to be in the present because it claims through faith that which is promised in the future. This possession is partly an inward reality and partly an outward actuality. Inwardly, as people of faith, we have a confidence here and now that when things are going wrong, as they sometimes will, we have the assurance that the promises of God can be trusted. Faith, in this inward sense, is then a response to the trustworthiness of God. Trustworthiness always precedes, is a predecessor of trust. When we have somebody who is trustworthy, then we can invest our trust in them. If a father proves to be trustworthy, his children can invest their trust in him. If a husband is trustworthy, his wife can invest her trust in him. That's the way it should be with each of us as it comes to God. God, incontestably, God is irrefutably, indubitably trustworthy, and we can place our trust in him. No wonder the wise man of antiquity affirmed, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. David was assured from experience of the trustworthiness of God. He said, I am now old. I've been young, but now I'm old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. He had learned from the crucible of experience that God was trustworthy, that God was count-ownable. You don't have to worry about him letting you down.
Amen.
By faith, we should operate. Because faith, the assurance of things hoped for, is not just inward confidence. It is also an outward action. True faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances or consequences. Faith is described in a twofold way. It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. First, the word substance means literally to stand under, to support. Faith is the foundation that gives the Christian the confidence to stand tall in a world that is falling short. So then we have faith as an inward assurance, but we also embody faith as an outward manifestation. In other words, it is believing that God is actually working right now and putting our belief, putting our faith in action. While many churches take pride in their accomplishments, their large memberships and attendance, the size and design of their buildings, the social status of their members, the prominence of their preacher, their affluence and their influence, the Thessalonian church had little to commend it compared to these superficial standards. It had no buildings, no programs, no performers, no publications. This church was not a large or a wealthy church. It lacked social affluence and political influence. The Thessalonian church could not offer new converts the comfortable, entertaining, non-threatening environment of a user-friendly church. Yet, they were a church to which the Apostle Paul could write, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as it is fitting." Paul was not grateful for the size of the Thessalonian congregation, the building, the budget, or the popularity, but he praised God most of all because of their spiritual upgrades. These saints raised the bar. Specifically in this text, they upgraded their faith. This is affirmed in the statement that Paul makes in verse 3. "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly." But the irony of this is, their faith was increasing, although their suffering was intensifying. Their faith was gaining, although their problems were growing. Their faith was triumphing, although their trials were tremendous. Their suffering was significant. Their persecutions were protracted, and their temptations were tempestuous. But they were ever raising the bar of their faith. These saints were being persecuted, but in the very midst of their persecution, these saints found a way to affirm their faith, even in the midst of their trials and the midst of their difficulties. When have you last upgraded your faith? Has your faith been upgraded recently? The Thessalonians upgraded their faith. We can upgrade our faith as well if we will take the time out to embrace a lifestyle wherein our faith can continue to grow exponentially as we maintain our faithfulness and our fidelity to the Lord. Our faith can grow exceedingly like the faith of the Thessalonians grew exceedingly. When our faith is faith that stands in the power of God, our faith will be continually upgraded. You know, there are a lot of folks going to buy the iPhone 6. I have the iPhone 5S, but it's already outmoded. It's already antiquated. I have the iOS 7 operating system, but they're fixing to come out with the iOS 8 operating system. And they have some other things that they're going to be bringing out, another announcement they're going to be making very shortly. If we can upgrade our phones and upgrade our cars and upgrade our appliances and upgrade our homes and upgrade our hairdos, we can upgrade our faith. You know, there's some folks, they just get tired, Derek, of a certain hairdo that they've had for a long time. And I met a young lady at Dollar General yesterday, and she's in cosmetology school. And she had one of those long, I guess it was a weave, I'm not sure. But she told me, she said, this is not the way my hair usually looks. She said, I got to get it fixed. So in a sense, she was telling me, I have to have a hairdo upgrade. And some of these folks will pay $150 and $175 and $200 and $250 to have their hair done. You pay that much for your hairdo? Some people do. They want an upgrade. I was passing by Burger King for breakfast one day last week, and I saw a sign. And I forget exactly the product that it was offering, but they use this terminology, upgrade your breakfast. I say, upgrade your faith. If you are here today and you are not a faithful child of God, you are a child of God, but your faith is locked in an old mold, and you haven't experienced a positive faith upgrade in many years. Why not upgrade the level of your faith, the level of your commitment, the level of your dedication today through repentance, confession, and prayer? If you're here and you're not yet a child of God, if you've not obeyed the gospel of Christ, why not obey it today? Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. You've heard the good news of the gospel. If you are locked into a denominational mode, your religion needs to be upgraded. If your religion has not made a substantial difference in your life, you need to experience a spiritual upgrade. Somebody has rightly said, if your religion has not changed your life, you need to change your religion. If your religion is not predicated upon the Word of God, you need to embrace the religion of Jesus Christ as it is defined and set forth in that grand and glorious old book that we call the Bible. You need a spiritual, religious upgrade. You need to submit in humble obedience to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. Unadulterated. As the little boy says, unmessed with. As it is revealed in the Word of God. Jesus loved you so much, and we were talking about how we know that God counts us or considers us to be valuable. We know it because preeminently he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary for our sins. He broke into time in the fullness of time and was born of a woman. Born under the law to redeem them that were under the law, to make our salvation possible. You've heard that good news of the gospel, how he died for your sins and mine, how he was buried, and how he arose triumphantly from the grave on the third day, being declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. That's good news. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith and submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins and arise to walk in the newness of life. It's time for an upgrade. Will you come as we together stand and as we sing? I'm wonderful away from God. Now I'm coming home, path of sin Why not come home today? Why not come home this morning? More to roam. Open wide thy arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. Have you wasted many years, many precious years? Why not come home today? Coming home now, repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming. Why not come home today? Don't put it off any longer. Don't hesitate. Don't procrastinate. Don't equivocate or vacillate. Why not come home today? Open.